This is Free Talk Live, national syndicated talk radio that you can control by calling 1-800-259-9231. You can also check out our webcam that shows what's going on right here in the live studio. You can see us picking our noses and all kinds of fun stuff.
We're not actually picking your nose,
Joe. go to cam.freetalklive.com. That also will take you to the chat room where you can be chatting with other listeners of the show. This is yet more free content on the Free Talk Live website. Other stations charge for content. Free Talk Live gives all kinds of content away for free. So check out cam.freetalklive.com. This is your host, Dale.
And Nick.
And Stephanie.
And Free Talk Live is also brought to you by FreedomsPhoenix.com. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the detailed real news that lies between the lines of propaganda and the relationship we all have with coercive governments. FreedomsPhoenix.com offers up-to-the-minute updates on the economy, technology, communications, and the rise of the police state. Go now to FreedomsPhoenix.com and sign up for the free daily dispatch. That's FreedomsPhoenix.com.
Freedom's Phoenix also has a great podcast that plays on the Liberty Radio Network, which you should check out.
Oh, a live show, yeah.
It's a lovely news site. Yeah. It was used on Free Talk Live pretty heavily for a long time before the Free Talk Live website actually started to have its own news feed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's great for material to talk about. So I promised to talk about the five popular safety measures that don't actually make you any safer. It's so hard to think logically about safety. We figure that any time our health or the safety of our children is at stake, it's better safe than sorry. Our safety is too important for logic. Damn it. Unfortunately, this leads to a whole lot of well-publicized and expensive safety measures that are often worthless or downright dangerous, like, do you remember?
Airport security.
That's right. Number five, airport security measures. After 9/11, we knew that stopping terrorism would take a bold, creative strategy, one flexible enough to adapt quickly to changes in tactics. How about this? Let's find every person who's shown even the slightest criminal tendency and bar them from ever getting on a plane.
Or people who just have the same name as...
Well, there you go. So how well do you think this works? So... And this is the no-fly list. Uh-huh. It's estimated to have around 1 million names, but nobody knows for sure. Keeping the list secret is a matter of national security. So the only way to find out if you're on it is to be detained in the airport. Or in the air. For instance, in 2005, a 747 flight from Amsterdam to Mexico was turned back before it could reach its destination. The reason? Two of the plane's passengers were on the no-fly list, and the flight crossed over U.S. airspace. Well, better safe than sorry, right? But while those two anonymous passengers were terrifying enough to ban from flying over America, they weren't enough of a threat to be worth arresting. There's a reason security expert Bruce Schneer described the no-fly list as a list of people so dangerous they cannot be allowed to fly under any circumstance, yet so innocent we can't arrest them even under the Patriot Act. that's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
the Patriot Act's pretty powerful, too.
There have been a lot of cases of mistaken identity, too. I remember there was some politician who ended up on the list somehow, and of course I'm sure he probably pulled some strings to get himself removed.
Well, he's a politician. Yeah. Someone else who got screwed the same way wouldn't be able to pull those strings. And
if your name is John Smith, then you know you're John Smith, the regular guy, so you don't get to take yourself off the no-fly list. You're just banished to trains and buses for the rest of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and that wasn't an isolated incident. Seven international flights have been diverted at a cost of roughly $6.25 million. And countless flights and passengers have been delayed. Homeland Security Affairs estimates the total cost of the list to our government at $100 million a year. But
that's,
hey, fine.
Yeah. That's another thing. Like, do you ever think about how much time? I mean, what is the cost of all that time that's
wasted? I wonder if they're
wasted?
Just figuring that. They may or may not actually be trying to figure that into those numbers.
Right. Wasting man hours of all the people on the flight that isn't really counted.
No,
as
I'm
a
sure
cost.
They're not counting the customers,
the
inconvenience to the customers.
Not to mention the millions of man hours that have been spent standing in line at the airport, taking off your shoes at the airport.
Mm-hmm. Getting there 2 hours early.
The government never really takes into consideration is how much, you know, making anything that's troublesome and time-consuming and all the productivity, you know, how many of those people, how much is their time worth if they were at work producing something or whatever? I mean, what's not being produced?
Right. Well, it's not just, government. It tends to be people in general when they're thinking about safety measures. They only think if they're told, well, we'll do this and it'll make it less likely that planes will be hijacked or whatever it is, kids being kidnapped, whatever the risk is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But people don't look at the downside. What are the unintended consequences? What are the costs?
You could stop car accidents
by outlawing cars.
On that note, there's also, but beyond just safety measures, for instance, I know a guy who does a lot of computer services.
Uh-huh.
He does like admin services and network service and you know, server, doing security measures on servers and, mm-hmm. and things like that. And he works for someone and he charges an hourly rate for his services, and his hourly rate is fairly high.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's an expensive skill set. And so, it's got a fairly high hourly rate, and he tries to tell his client, you know, you need to get so-and-so software. I know, that you've got some really archaic software that's going to have problems, that's going to need a lot of servicing, and, you need to buy this other software that's, it's $1,200. You know, you have to sell your client, to buy this $1,200 software or $2,000 software, but don't you understand, but he doesn't understand, look, you're going to, I'll spend 40 hours working on this in the next 6 months to a year.
Yeah,
his billable hours go far beyond the cost of putting in some new software that won't take all that servicing. And so he doesn't see the cost-benefit analysis of spending that money and getting go ahead and get the good software, not spending 40 hours on your admin guy.
I mean, people do tend to be short-sighted. It's especially true of governments. But they're looking at the which costs more? Can I buy the really... It even boils down to things like buying the cheapest product. Do I buy the cheapest hammer at the store, even though it's really going to break after 2 weeks, and I'm going to have to buy 5 of these a year? Or could I have spent 3 times as much on a hammer that would have lasted the rest of my life, which was really more costly? So a lot of times, people do have problems with being short-sighted.
And then the other side of that is, I know a guy who would buy, like, really expensive sunglasses and then keep losing his sunglasses.
Oh,
so at that point,
yeah,
you buy the cheap sunglasses.
Right.
But you're probably, if you lose your glasses before they have time to break...
Don't buy something that'll last you the rest of your life if you lose that item about 4 or 5 times a year.
So it says, fighting terror isn't cheap, but at least no terrorists are getting on planes. Well, unless you count those 11 terrorists in England with a sophisticated plot to blow up planes with liquid explosives. You know, the ones who are the reason you can't take a child-sized bottle of shampoo onto the plane anymore. None of them managed to stumble onto the no-fly list, even though they'd been under surveillance for more than a year.
Oh, wow.
That's the fun part. That makes no sense. It turns out it's even possible to beat the no-fly list, even if the authorities aren't terribly incompetent. All a potential terrorist would need to do is use a false name and get a fake ID. Security experts have also created boarding pass generators on the Internet to prove how worthless the whole system is. CBS was able to purchase tickets on 3 airlines and bypass security in 5 airports using a $150 fake license. Not that most terror-inclined individuals would even need a fake ID. The no-fly list is filled with tons of dead people and foreign politicians, along with small children and Marine veterans, but is surprisingly light on real terrorists. Christmas Day underwear bomber Umar Farouk Abdul-Muttalab, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, bought a one-way flight from Lagos to Detroit by way of Amsterdam and paid in cash. Umar's own father called U.S. officials several times in the months before the flight, warning them that his son had terroristy plans. Umar, who didn't get the plane to crash because the bomb in his pants wouldn't go off, never made it onto the no-fly list.
That's another thing. Like, you have trouble buying one-way flights sometimes. Like,
yeah.
I remember, like, one of my friends was arranging a trip and just wanted a one-way ticket because he didn't know, like, when he was going to be able to come back or what route he wanted to take. And he was having a lot of trouble getting the one-way ticket because, that flagged him as a terrorist suspect somehow,
Like, terrorists care about spending. I mean, if you were going to conduct a suicide mission that involved hijacking a plane, I doubt that you're going to try to save the money. I mean, you're killing yourself, so spending a couple hundred extra dollars to get the round-trip ticket, it doesn't seem like that's going to be an obstacle to somebody on a suicide mission.
Right.
Exactly.
And now if you think, that's why we have scanners, right? But that bomber would not have been stopped by the scanners that they spent $165 million to install. So,
but everybody else is just nude under the TSA gaze.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. $165 million worth of body scanners, and that wouldn't have stopped a terrorist either. So this is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take over the show at any time by calling 1-800-259-9231.
Attention, all active duty members and veterans of the U.S. military. Your proud service to your country entitles you with the right to participate in special VA loan programs with benefits not available to the general public, like the ability to purchase a new home with no down payment or mortgage insurance, or refi with cash out up to 100% of your present home equity with less strict credit criteria. You are entitled to these benefits. Review them online at varadio.com.
This is Tim Lewis from iFreedom Direct and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. I want you to know that as a member or veteran of the United States military, you've earned special rights and privileges. On your feet! And get the details at varadio.com.
iFreedom Direct Corporation is a private lender approved by the VA and licensed in most states. In certain states, certain restrictions and limitations apply. For a current list of licenses, disclosures, and all benefits, go to varadio.com. VARadio.com.
Soon we'll be shutting our doors and windows, shutting out fresh air for months. Did you know you're also keeping in allergens, bacteria, and germs that cause colds and flu? What if there was a low-cost way of blanketing your home with clean air? There is. Introducing the AeroAsis 3000 Air Purifier. It utilizes new patent-pending nanotechnology, producing a blanket of oxidizers that cleans the air and sanitizes the surfaces. Imagine not spreading the cold or flu bug to everyone around you. AeroAsis 3000 air purifiers are made in the USA, come with a 3-year warranty, have no filters to replace, no grids to clean, and require no maintenance for 3 years. Try the AeroAsis 3000 air purifier risk-free for 30 days. GCN listeners, get $100 off when you order at breathebetterair.com or call 806-477-0322. That's 806-477-0322. And get the best air purifier for the best price at BreatheBetterAir.com.
Go to HempUSA.org. Go to HempUSA.org and ask your legislator, and ask your congressman, and ask your president, why can't we grow it here? And ask those companies that love their profits and disease, why can't we grow it here? Try our powder, seeds, and oil. Try our 5-pound sampler. And get free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org. Go to hempusa.org. Call us at 908-691-2608. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org.
In confusing times, would a simple outlook on health and beauty make sense?
If you're tired of taking dry vitamins without noticing any results, then the Bogdana Nutritional Formula is for you. Easy to take and absorb.
The absorption of liquids is 98% in comparison to only 20% for dry vitamins.
For the past 25 years, Bogdana Rejuvenating Nutritional Formula has been proven to get results.
Detox, nourish, and rejuvenate your body with this one-of-a-kind supplement that contains 150 natural and organic nutrients.
And a one-month supply is less than $1 per day.
Take charge of your health and feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins or your money back.
Go to Bogdana liquidvitamins.com or call 1-800-234-5608.
That's Bogdana liquidvitamins.com or call 800-234-5608. Give your body what it needs and it will perform miracles in return.
For inner health and outer beauty, feel the difference with Bogdana Liquid Vitamins today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
Where you can control the show by calling in at 1-800-259-9231. You can also check out our website full of all kinds of free content, including promote. Go to promote.freetalklive.com and see various ways that you can help promote the show. This is your host, Dale.
And Nick.
And Stephanie.
And we were talking about the 5 popular safety measures that don't actually make you any safer. And we've got a call, so I think we'll take a break from that to go to our caller Ed in Tennessee. Ed, what did you want to talk about tonight?
How are you all doing?
We all are doing fine. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to let you know that the USA Today had the front page story. Did y'all see that by any chance?
I have not seen it.
Neither have
okay.
I.
It's about, for cops, citizen videos bring increased scrutiny, but it tells a story. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. Diop Camus. Have you ever heard of him?
No. Why don't you give us a rundown?
Listen to this. This guy's been filming cops for 2 decades. He's 52 years old. His father got roughed up in a traffic stop. So ever since then, he's been filming. And anyway, it's a front page story today in USA Today. But I read just a few paragraphs. But
interesting. It's unfortunate, but it's actually illegal to film police officers in many parts of the country.
There was a court ruling. I believe it was a federal district court. I can't remember exactly, but it was there was a ruling that was considered unconstitutional. Trying to apply wiretapping laws to filming police officers. Basically, his statement was
there was recently a ruling in the state of Maryland that because somebody had been arrested for filming. He actually had a helmet cam on. He was riding a motorcycle, and it recorded a traffic stop where an undercover off-duty Maryland state trooper pulled out in front of him and cut him off and then pulled him over.
Pulled a gun on him and all kinds of crazy stuff. Without him knowing it was a cop.
He was facing 16 or 17 years in prison. Because in Maryland, it's a fairly serious felony.
Well, and because he filmed something that was embarrassing, right?
Yeah. But that was a great court ruling. It's not too often you get one that's just on the money like that.
Unfortunately, that one only applies in Maryland.
I don't believe so. I believe that was a federal judge that said that.
It may have been. That would be a positive change.
That was pretty amazing. Yeah. I think it was a federal president. I think it was a federal president. If it was a federal president, that would be Obama. But don't quote me on that, but I think so.
What it says here is Illinois, Maryland, and Massachusetts, some police have responded by trying to limit such recordings when they believe these recordings interfere with police actions. But right. It doesn't say there's a law. It says in Maryland, so he was charged with felony violations of Maryland's wiretapping law.
Yeah, so
here's
they tried to apply.
Here's what y'all were just saying.
Yeah. In Massachusetts, here, it's a felony, too.
This guy here, Lieutenant Robin Larson, says all of our people should be conducting themselves like they're being recorded all the time.
Right. And again, it was a misapplication of the wiretapping law was essentially what the judge was saying. The wiretapping law was not intended for that. It's just a lot of cops, because they don't want to be recorded, try to apply
right.
it, you know.
Right. I don't understand how they can even make that case, you know, anywhere, the city council or anywhere from the people, because, you know, they work for us.
Well, and one of the funniest things too is that, like, usually cops are recording everything when they're doing a traffic stop. They have a little camera on. You know, they can record, but you can't. You know,
I don't understand why we the people can't, you know, take them to court on that, saying why I didn't record it. Why are we going to believe you anymore when we got recordings?
I wanted to ask you about this. You said they work for us. Have you ever tried firing them?
Well, I mean, you know, what it is.
I know what you mean, but
there's no people are not involved in politics, and the reason why, you know, I don't know if you've thought about this, but in the, you know, everybody says the founding father days, whatever, but in those times there wasn't any television and all these movies and sports and doing all this stuff. Everybody was into politics. Have y'all seen that book that shows?
I'm going to argue with you there, though. Actually, I don't think that was the case.
Everybody read.
I think you're taking a very. And I'm not saying this to put you down personally, because it's a very common sentiment. It's one that I held at one point, but it's sort of like a picture book history view of it. Really, if you look at the standards of the day, certainly when there was a revolution taking place and a lot of turmoil around that period, that was certainly the case. But people pretty quickly, even then, most of the people who were deeply involved, you're actually talking about maybe 10-20% of the population was heavily involved in, you know, the minutiae of the politics.
Well, from what I'd argue with you there, that you can see the newspapers and the pamphlets and everything that were written then compared to now. And, like, you know, the research shows that people that get their news off the net, they only look at it maybe, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, it's over, gone. People that read newspapers, they're much more informed.
The newspaper, didn't you just say that you read the first two paragraphs of the news of the article that you were talking about from a magazine?
Do what, ma'am? I didn't understand.
Were you calling? You called about the wiretapping article in USA Today that was the front page, and didn't you say that you didn't read the whole thing?
Yeah, just the article. Yeah, I just saw it. I'm a contractor. I had to work.
Yeah.
I didn't have time to read it today, but I got the paper, and I will read it. It's sitting. You want to hear it?
No, okay. You did a good summary, though.
I just hadn't read it yet, but I try to read, like, you know, 3 or 4, 5, 6 newspapers a day.
Yeah, I think the writing of the period was
USA Today.
Well, probably better.
I just haven't made it to it, but believe me, I will read it.
I understand, I see where you're getting at, and I understand when you say that they work for us, and then that's what we're told. But I think that, well, and so you will find very quickly that that's really not the case.
Well,
and they scoff at you if you say, I pay your salary.
Well, that's because of no involvement from the people. Look at it.
I don't know if it's not
like, you know,
get
really
it's
involved. Get really involved and try to get that officer fired.
I think it's a lack of accountability is a problem. The system, as it's been designed, is not. You can become very involved, and if it's a big if, which seldom ever happens,
well,
if you had enough people become very much involved, and you could force changes, especially in a small town, sure. It's highly unlikely that you'll get that many people. The problem is it's a system that's very difficult. You basically would have to go through a lot of trouble to force out bad administrators
that's
in schools.
Well, think about
Congress is sold. It's mostly.
Well, I'm not even talking about Congress.
Never mind
fascism.
Congress. You had an experience. Let's say you had an experience with a police officer who totally behaved unprofessionally. I know that never happens, except in very rare cases.
Never.
Sorry, I'm being sarcastic. It happens all the time.
Right.
But let's say you had this police officer who behaved incredibly unprofessionally in a way you on your job would get fired. Tell me, if you had a community that was really involved politically, what is it going to take to get that guy fired? Seriously.
Is that
a reasonable expectation?
Here. Hey, we've had a couple fired here, but listen to this.
We're going to break in. I'm going to have to call in again soon, and we'll talk some more about it. This is, thank you for the call, Ed. You can call in at 1-800-259-9231. This is Free Talk Live.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C Ally C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ally C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ally C. For more information and to order Ally C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ally C today.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy, divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and cross food off your to-do list.
Just what emergencies do I need to be prepared for?
Terrorism, economic collapse, or the overdue big quake. The immediate time frame after any disaster when you may be on your own is critical. That's why you need a 72-hour kit from SurvivalSolutions.com. Our 72-hour kits have been researched, tried, and tested for three-day survival. 72-hour emergency kits from SurvivalSolutions.com provide 114 essential items, including food, water, light, shelter and warmth, cooking, first aid, sanitation, and communication. Just add your personal items, clothing, and important papers, and you're ready for any emergency. That's 114 essential life-sustaining items. Order now and get a free Millennium Food Bar with each 72-hour kit purchase. Call 801-965-0777 or go to SurvivalSolutions.com. That's 801-965-0777 or SurvivalSolutions.com, home of the complete 72-hour emergency kit.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
You are listening to Free Talk Live, the talk radio station, where you, a talk radio show where you can control the show by calling 1-800-259-9231. You can also check out, go to amazon.freetalklive.com for all sorts of goods, all sorts of goods that you can order, and it won't cost you any more, but some of your, a portion of your purchase will go to support this show, which helps spread the message of liberty all across the country, and a little bit internationally as well. We have some international listeners because it is an internet show. So,
indeed. And HostGator.com is a worldwide leader for web hosting, and they make it easy to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and templates. Use the coupon code FTL, that's FTL as in Free Talk Live, and sign up at HostGator.com to receive your first month completely free. Whether you want a personal blog or a complete e-commerce business website, let the experts at HostGator.com host you. Go to hostgator.freetalklive.com.
And in a moment, we're going to be getting back to the five popular safety measures that don't really protect you, that don't really make you any safer. And the last caller, Ed, was he brought up the idea that, you know, they work for us, the cops and the bureaucrats at the city hall and so on and so forth. They work for us, right? So that means you can just fire them if they're being bad, right?
No.
You know, I kind of wish I had kept Ed on. I'm regretting it now that we disconnected. I would have liked to have kept him on and talk about this a little further. But you know, I really would like for people to think about if there's a bad bureaucrat, local, let's not even talk about, you know, some big up bureaucrat up in some federal office somewhere, but just some local bureaucrat. Just think about what it takes to, you know, say a cop who says is behaving very unprofessionally.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, it happens a lot. Go to copblock.org.
Indeed,
it is,
yeah.
On an almost daily basis, if not a daily basis, you've got stories coming out all the time. These are just the ones that are being reported. A lot of times on, you know, recorded, on video and so forth of cops behaving totally unprofessionally.
And that's just, those are just the ones that are recorded. I mean,
exactly. The ones that recorded and or reported.
Right.
You know, because most of the times people, you know, they just want to get it over with and they want to get back to their lives. They're not going to, most of the stuff, who knows how much is not being reported.
Yeah.
And it's not, just imagine the steps you have to take. Even if you have a really involved community that's very politically active.
Yeah.
The steps you have to take to get that person fired.
That was another thing that Ed brought up that I kind of took issue with. I mean, he was saying, like, oh, well, you have to get all these people and then have them all care about politics and get them politically active in the community.
Meanwhile.
Yeah, but I mean, I just look at what, and he was also saying that people who don't read newspapers are uninformed. Well, I really beg to differ with that, because recently there was just this example, Baby Cheyenne, the baby that was taken from a couple by the state, in response to allegations of some kind of neglect or abuse. But on the paperwork that was providing the reasoning for taking the baby, they cited the father's involvement in Oath Keepers, which is like a it's not a militia, but they said it was. But anyway, so people heard about that by the internet, by blogs, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Ridley Report, and all kinds of other internet-based news sources, and there were protests that were spontaneously organized. There were, calls to these various...
There's no way you could follow that in the newspaper, right?
No way! or no way that you could organize people with paper. I mean,
yeah,
just
I
think about how
it.
Slow paper is compared
Anyone
to the
who,
internet.
If you're attached to newspapers, cut the cord, because they are dying. I'm sorry, newspapers are old media. They're going to die.
Yeah.
They're struggling... As it is,
I think they're already dead.
And
they're
the old media format. I mean, that format is available online. So I mean, there's nothing cheaper about the.
Yeah.
For some people, I think there's sort of like this snobbery about reading something in electronic format versus paper, which personally I have about books, and I don't think I'll ever have a Kindle. But
right.
The information's the same. I mean, I can read a story from the New York Times by buying the New York Times and reading it on a page,
sure.
Or I can read it on my computer.
Right.
And it's the same information, but with the internet and with the media.
I suspect it's cheaper, too. Is it cheaper to subscribe online than to get a paper delivery? Especially if you're not in New York.
Yeah, I believe it is.
It would make sense for it to be. I'm sure that, you know, it's free for them, practically, to just add subscribers to their website.
If you're not a subscriber, it's more pricey. Like, I think the Times is one of those websites where a lot of times, like, you'll get teased with, like, the opening paragraph of a really good article.
Right.
And then they'll say, oh, click here either to subscribe or pay $125 to finish the article.
Yeah.
And you're going to pay.
How many people
sure.
do that?
Right. I mean,
well, they're really struggling, too. Even the New York Times, I understand, is really struggling. If it's a paper like the New York Times is struggling, that lets you know this medium is on its way out.
Yeah.
And then there's so much new media that is instantly updated and rapid and that's out there. And it can be just as thorough. And the thing about books, of course, that book doesn't have to be updated constantly. The book is an unchanging format. It's an unchanging media that stays the same. So printing it out in a book form is great. You know, it's still good. It's still it's going to be popular for a long time. It's a familiar interface that everyone likes. You know,
I still prefer e-books. I mean,
really?
Yeah. I mean, and one of the reasons is because so many of them have free content. You know.
Oh, okay.
Like I've
Do you
read
have Kindle.
No, I don't have a Kindle, but I do read PDF books on my just on my computer. I mean,
okay.
Maybe that's leading to eye strain or something. But so what? I already wear glasses.
Yeah,
yeah.
So let's go on a little more about these ridiculous safety measures that aren't really making anyone any safer.
Safety.
Those scanners we were talking about—they also have done nothing to detect the failed 2006 liquid bomb plot or the 2005 London train bombing. They can't even detect objects stuffed inside the body. For a visual example, check out this video. Well, we can't obviously show people the video. This is a radio show. But they're of a rotund German man besting a full-body scanner. The machine caught his pocket knife, cell phone, and microphone. But it didn't notice the armload of chemical bomb components he was carrying.
Oh. Where was he carrying it? Under his arm? Because he was
overweight? It says an armload.
Huh.
I think they must be in his sleeves or something, I'm guessing. It's hard for me to tell from this picture, but or he's holding them in his hand or something.
Well, the next step, I mean, obviously these aren't working, these body scanners. I guess we're just going to have to institute, you know, full body cavity searches. That's the only,
right,
that's body, the only viable option.
We're just going to have to keep doing, like, really desperate measures that don't actually do anything but make people feel like we're, you know, we look busy. We look busy. That's the important thing, right?
Yeah,
it's to look like you're doing something.
Right, it's security theater is largely what it is.
I like that term.
I call it
theater.
A security placebo.
It's a security placebo, security theater, making people a mental masturbation that makes you feel better.
Yeah.
It isn't actually accomplishing anything. So yeah, you can call in 1-800-259-9231. We're gonna go on to number 4: anti-lock brakes and bike helmets. This is some fascinating stuff.
Hmm.
Safety equipment on vehicles creates a kind of weird catch-22. On one hand, you can show in the laboratory that anti-lock brakes do make cars stop faster. Bicycle helmets do protect the skull when it hits the pavement. But when you factor in the element of human behavior, namely the fact that most of us are insane, and much of that goes out the window, it starts with something called the Peltzman effect, which almighty Wikipedia defines as the hypothesized tendency of people to react to a safety regulation by increasing other risky behavior, offsetting some or all of the benefit of the regulation.
That makes total sense, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been cited with seatbelt laws as well.
Absolutely. People drive less safe when they're belted in.
Right.
Yeah.
When they're belted in, they drive less safe. There have been significant studies on this. This fits in with what people feel sort of immortal with that belt on. They feel like, oh, I'm safe. I can drive like a maniac. Woo!
Wow. And then they're more likely
to be in an accident, you know.
As an aside, like, cars are one of the most dangerous things, but, like, people worry about planes crashing and, you know, these really terrorist attacks and these really unlikely things. When most of them are driving a significant portion of their day.
It's more theatric. The guy with the bomb getting on the plane. They've seen movies about
that. Yeah, think about it.
But movies about car accidents aren't, you know.
Or diabetes and heart disease. And
right.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the things that could be contributors to early death in the U.S.
There's no massive explosions or anything like that to keep things, you know, exciting.
Usually just a health problem.
So, yeah, it fits in with what the Highway Loss Data Institute learned about anti-lock brakes. 10-year studies showed no reduction in the frequency or severity of crashes due to anti-lock brakes. So when we come back, we're going to find out why. Why these anti-lock brakes that do make your car stop better, how come they didn't reduce the severity of crashes? So we'll find out about that when we come back. You can call in at 1-800-259-9231, and your calls always come first on Free Talk Live. We will be back in a moment.
Have you ever wished that you could buy, sell, and trade in silver in your community? Del Valle Silver has a no-cost, turnkey setup for you. You recruit 6 to 8 businesses in your area to accept Del Valle Silver rounds as barter currency, and your wish is granted. You get paid, and you promote the use of real money. This isn't like so many other silver currency setups where it's really just a system to sell high-priced rounds. It's a free market system based on Austrian economics. DelValleySilver.com. DelValleySilver.com.
Have you been thinking about starting a website? I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a worldwide leader for web hosting, and they make it easy to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and templates. Sign up at hostgator.freetalklive.com to receive your first month completely free. Whether you want a personal blog or a complete e-commerce business website, let the experts at hostgator.freetalklive.com host you.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees. And every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
Alex told you the government announced recently that the recession is over. It ended on June of 2009. The millions of Americans unable to find work might not agree. Perhaps the recession ended for the bankers and government employees, but for the rest of us, things seem to be getting worse. Gold and silver haven't heard the news either. They've begun their long-expected journey to the moon. In addition to converting your shrinking dollars into gold and silver, you should consider a food savings account from eFoods Direct. They both make fabulous investments. Food is our greatest dependency, and we know it will be more precious than any financial resource. You and your family need food to survive a crisis, and you can't eat paper, stocks, or metals. Alex has been urging you to invest in delicious, easy-fix meals to enjoy now or save for long-term. This will freeze the cost of your food while you can still afford it. Visit eFoodsDirect.com on the Internet or call 800-409-5633. That's eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, the radio station, the radio show where you can call in and control the show. 1-800-259-9231. We're in the final segments of the show. There's still time for your calls if you call right now. Again, that's 1-800-259-9231. You can also visit our website where there's lots of free content, including amp.freetalklive.com. You can find out how you can help support getting the Liberty message out through Free Talk Live. As little as $3 a month will help spread the message of FTL. That money is used to market and promote the show.
Advertise, market, and
promote. Advertise, yeah. Market. I forgot the A for a moment. Thank you, Stephanie.
It's just,
So this is Free Talk Live. I'm your host, Dale.
And Nick.
And Stephanie.
And we are talking about the five popular safety measures that don't actually make you any safer. And we were just talking about anti-lock brakes, and why haven't anti-lock brakes reduced severity of crashes? Because that's what they're supposed to do, and they seem to do it well.
Mm-hmm.
But a person in an ABS vehicle actually has a 45% greater chance of dying in a single vehicle crash than someone without ABS.
Why would that be?
Science's explanation? Unskilled drivers driving more aggressively thanks to their false sense of security. I've also heard this about, my mechanic has told me this about Subarus that have all-wheel drive, by the way. A lot of people feel like they're safer because of all-wheel drive.
Now,
I am not a mechanic.
Magic. It's magic if you've heard this.
Well, listen, having all-wheel drive doesn't help you stop better.
Right.
Having all-wheel drive helps you not get stuck in the snow.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That's very useful, don't get me wrong. And I'm thrilled to have it in New Hampshire, and I live on top of a hill.
Yeah,
so on a really snowy day, if they haven't cleared the road yet, it's nice to have.
I've seen people. If you're not somebody who lives where you get snow very much, if you're in the deep south, you probably haven't seen this too much because everybody drives like this from the footage I've seen. If you're not accustomed to driving in snow, but when it snows, there are some people who believe that if they have a four-wheel drive or an all-wheel drive vehicle, that means it's reasonable to go 55 miles an hour in the snow, and they're just blowing by people. In lighter cars because they're driving a truck. Well, I'm sorry, but it doesn't really help you that much. It doesn't.
No.
And if you need to stop, you're not going to be able to.
Well, certainly an all-wheel drive means it helps you go. It doesn't help you stop. Okay?
Yeah.
So yes, you will be able to trudge through in a Subaru. I've heard some stories about people trudging through thick snow in their Subaru mm-hmm. and being able to get through and get to their house on a really tough driveway up a hill and things like that. It seems great for that. But I have been told, and I'm not a mechanic myself. It's kind of like the lawyer disclaimer. I am not a lawyer, so I am not giving legal advice. I am not a mechanic, and I am not giving mechanical advice. But I have been told, I have heard hearsay, that all-wheel drive does not make you safer. And so, again, it helps you go. It doesn't help you stop necessarily. And so basically there's a false sense of security associated with anti-lock brakes. So likewise, there are multiple studies showing that bicycle helmets in the long run don't actually reduce the number of injuries. In 2006, a researcher in Bath, England, posted up the results of a study showing that when bicyclists wear safety equipment like helmets, people in cars are more likely to hit them. A scientist test subject found that motorists came an average of 3.35 inches closer to his bike when he rode protected. The sight of the safety gear turned off the common sense part of the brain.
But 3.35 inches? Is that really a huge difference?
Well,
I could see if it was like a foot closer, but...
Nah, maybe.
It's miter, but it's, I mean...
That might be
dangerous.
A big difference when there's not that much clearance to begin with.
That's true.
Still, you'd think that in the long run, there'd have to be health benefits to head protection. After all, some countries like Australia have made helmets mandatory for all cyclists. A bunch of states in the U.S. have bike helmet laws, and the fight for helmet laws in other states rages on. Some people think it's weird that the government can tell you what kind of hat to wear during a certain activity. But at least bike fatalities have gone down. They have gone down, right? No. Not according to science. Recent studies from Australia suggest that mandatory helmet laws have the opposite effect. Between 1982 and 89, prior to the helmet laws, the country saw its number of cyclists double. Bicyclists actually gave pedestrians a decent chance of outrunning the crocodiles and flying jellyfish. You'd expect bike-related injuries and fatalities. I love all the stereotypes about Australia. They're totally ridiculous. You talk to people in Sydney about, you know, Crocodile Dundee fables, and they're like, what are you talking about, man? You'd expect bike-related injuries and fatalities to have shot up during the same period. Instead, they dropped. Deaths plummeted by 48%, while injuries fell 33%. This seems a little counterintuitive until you account for human behavior. More people riding bikes leads to motorists who get used to sharing the road with them. But then in 1992, they passed the laws making bike helmets mandatory. It was a disaster. 1995 and 96 saw higher numbers of cyclist head injuries than any year prior to the law's passage. How is that possible? Well, the fashion consequences of mandatory helmets caused the women of Australia to stop cycling. Apparently, they valued the hair on their head more than the brain inside it. Since there weren't any girls to impress, the boys cycling too. I think they're like jumping to some conclusions here about some of the details of this. But the important thing is, people, when the bike helmets passed, people just stopped riding their bikes. Cyclists are rare. Motorists are less likely to be on the lookout for them, so there are more accidents. And to make it even worse, you lose the health benefits you were getting from cycling. In total, Macquarie University found that Australia's helmet laws cause as much as $500 million in health-related costs every year. $500 million. It doesn't matter what kind of data you get from a helmeted crash test dummy. A real human just doesn't want to look like a dork.
Well, okay, so, but with this helmet thing, that's not to say that, like, you couldn't, as an individual, like, this is all on a population level, right? Like, they're compiling huge amounts of data. So if you are bicycling and you're wearing a helmet,
you're better off as an individual wearing that helmet. But
yeah,
the law saying you have to wear a helmet increased fatalities, reduced the number of cyclists, caused all kinds of health problems to the tune of $500 million.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference between a personal decision about a safety factor and passing a law and saying you must do this.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unintended consequences.
So guess what number three is? We'll try to cover a little bit of this before little bit of time remaining. Number three is sunscreen. This one was fascinating to me because I've heard a lot of horror stories about sunscreen that I really just didn't buy into.
I've heard that some studies are now saying that the risk of skin cancer from long-term sun exposure is actually offset by other health benefits from sun exposure.
Right.
Well, like, that may be too.
Whether the apparently the sun's actually bad.
Yeah, I may not be able to get to a lot of this. Fortunately, I've read this article already. A lot of this is talking about that sunscreens aren't protecting you from the stuff that actually causes cancer. They might protect you from sunburn, but it's not like burning. That immediate symptom of sunburn is not that closely related to the stuff that's causing cancer, which is related to like there's UVA and UVB rays.
Right.
Well, UVB, I think, causes your skin to produce vitamin D, and vitamin D has been shown to have some, effects on the body that naturally like ramps up its anti-cancer responses.
Right, and it's also better production of vitamin D. Also, I believe it's been shown to lower rates of heart disease and heart attack.
Yeah.
So there's some other health benefits there. So the question that I've heard posed is, well, is it bad to get a lot of sun? Because for a long time we were told that we were all going to get skin cancer and die, but
yeah.
Skin cancers they're not that aggressive, and you're not that likely to get it if you get a lot of sun, unless you're getting
burns. Getting some sun is good for you. You need some. But, like, getting a lot is still not good for you.
But
what they're saying
is
that sunscreen isn't preventing it. So you really just need to moderate your time in the sun.
It depends on how dark or light your skin is, too, though, doesn't it? I mean, because...
Sure, some people are a lot less prone to skin cancer than others. If you have natural skin coloring, I always tell people, I'm so Caucasian, I get skin cancer from a Florida postcard. But, you know... Well, and apparently some sunscreens have an additive called retinol palmitate.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And it's been found by the FDA to speed up skin lesions and act as a photocarcinogenic.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many of them actually have that. Since
a lot,
92%
almost all
of
them
are completely ineffective for preventing skin cancer. Wow. 92%. And then on top of that, there's this additive that can actually speed up certain kinds of skin cancer.
The SPF factors don't actually work the way you're told. Unless you're applying them in the same way that they're applied in a government lab or in a test.
Which is like slathering it on really,
right.
really thick.
I mean, if you leave it on so that it's white and you don't actually rub it away, then you're probably using it to the SPF standard. If the way most people apply it, many people are only getting, if you're using SPF 30, you might only be getting SPF 4 protection. Depends on how thick you put it on, but the standard for protection when they came up with it was, I forget, there's a certain amount of coverage per,
Right. I heard stuff about how to put it on, but they're saying that the SPF only measures its ability to block UVB radiation, not UVA. That's what I was talking about, the two different kinds. UVA is the kind that causes skin cancer, and it's not really blocking that at all most of the time, apparently. So, thanks for joining
us
tonight. This is your host, Dale.
And Nick.
And Stephanie.
Join us again tomorrow night, and on Sunday night I'll be hosting again the internet-only version of Free Talk Live that you can listen to at listen.freetalklive.com. Enjoy your weekend.
MemoryDealers.com offers the world's largest selection of discounted optical transceivers, including SFPs, GBICs, XFPs, Zempacs, and X2s, that are 100% compatible with all major networking equipment manufacturers, including Cisco, 3Com, Foundry, Alcatel, and HP, at up to 99% off list price. Memory Dealers can also offer customized solutions for your transceiver requirements, including private labeling. Memory Dealers is your trusted source for all your networking and telecom accessory needs, in stock and ready to ship via overnight delivery. MemoryDealers.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.